Hopefully you're all having a good week. Grabbed your jacket so you can stay warm tonight. I was reading earlier today, news story about a woman who was a caretaker. I think she and the woman she cared for both lived in Crossville. But she's taking care of this lady. And she was also her power of attorney. And the article indicated that for 7 years she was withdrawing funds from the account of the woman she's supposed to be caring for. So for 7 years comes to the tune of over $60,000. And then, you know, she's discovered, caught, and, you know, all of the consequences that result from that. But just, you know, think in terms of here, you know, you have someone who's supposed to be caring for you, but instead they are taking from you, hurting you in a way, and there's no obviously no genuine care or concern for your well-being. And it's interesting that that concept we have all around us in the world today, and we see it in a spiritual sense, because there are many people who spiritually are harming those they're supposed to be caring for. You know, you would think that those who are in positions of religious leadership, preachers, teachers, would be caring for those whom they are teaching, telling them things that will lead them to eternal life, that will draw them closer to God. But in fact, most of the world today has those who are telling them things, teaching them things that are going to cause them to be lost eternally. The Apostle Paul dealt with that throughout his writings, which he received from the Holy Spirit. And in Colossians chapter 2, of course, he's writing to a body of believers who many of them are from Gentile backgrounds. But in Colossians 2 and verse 4, he said to them, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." There are a lot of things that, you know, you can hear. And when you only hear one side of that story, it sounds really convincing. That's true religiously. There are many doctrines, many teachings that people can hear. And when they hear just what somebody says, and they don't investigate what God in His Word has revealed, then they can often be misled by something that sounds very convincing, presented by someone who seems believable, presented by someone who seems like they are a good person. You know, Jesus dealt with the religious leaders of His day, scribes and Pharisees, and there were a lot of people that trusted them. A lot of people that put their faith in them and what they taught. And yet, one of the accusations that Jesus rightfully and accurately leveled against some of these leaders was that they devoured widows' houses. How did that happen? They gained the trust of ladies that were, you know, without husbands any longer. Maybe they didn't have children who were involved. Maybe they didn't have any kids. But they took advantage of those situations and enriched themselves, is the idea. So you can't go by what a person looks like, how they seem, maybe even how they treat you. But Jesus explains to us that by their fruits you will know them. So you might go to a tree at certain times of year and you might wonder, what kind of tree is this? You go there in the spring, maybe the summer, maybe the fall, and then you find fruit. Hey, this is an apple. This is an apple tree. You know by the fruit what you're looking at. And in the case of human beings, it has to do with what are they saying? What do they speak? What is the evidence from their lives as to what they are? Jesus also spoke concerning the fact that out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. So religious leaders that were speaking, that were teaching, and they were saying things that contradicted the law of Moses could be known to be false teachers. So that people could be aware and then not follow them any longer. But like the prophet Hosea pointed out in chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." They didn't know the will of God, and therefore the false teachers, who seemed to be good guys, misled them. Today we have to be just as cautious. There are those who are able to speak, even write persuasive words whereby many are misled. Sometimes they're outside of the body of Christ. Sometimes they're within the body of Christ. But how are we going to know whether or not what we are hearing is in fact from heaven or from men? The only way that happens is if we, like the noble Bereans, more noble than those of Thessalonica, we search the Scriptures to see whether the things we are hearing are in fact so, whether they are God from God or not. That's a noble way of thinking and acting, to investigate. You know, you don't go to certain situations in life and just believe whatever people tell you. In fact, if you're getting ready to sell a house or make some kind of transaction that involves a lot of money, that involves legal situations, you'll probably take some precautions. You probably won't just accept what somebody tells you and say, "Yeah, this is how it goes, just sign here." You know, you realize that there are dangers. You have to be cautious. How much more when it relates to the spirit of a person and the fact that our decisions that we make now based upon what we believe have eternal consequences. So we see the importance of it. And therefore, the Apostle Paul continues there, "For though I am absent in the flesh," in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, "yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So here are brethren in the city of Colossae. And they are, though Paul hasn't seen them face to face yet, he knows of their faith. He knows they are walking according to the truth. And he wants to make sure that continues, thus the warning that he gave. "As you therefore," verse 6, "have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." In other words, he's saying, just as you were taught, just as you have believed, as it's already been conveyed to you, live that way. He doesn't want them to depart from the faith. He says in verse 7, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So, you can take a plant that is in a pot and you can slide it around here and there on your patio. But you take that same kind of plant and you put it in the ground and you let it establish its roots, it's there. It's not going to be blown by the wind. It's not going to be moved by your pet. But it has its roots and it's going to stay there. Stay and stand fast. And the Lord, through Paul, is saying he wants his people to be rooted where they are. And when you have your roots in the ground, then you can grow. And he says he wants you to be built up. He wants you to grow. They had believed not the doctrines of men, not the traditions of men, but they had believed the truth conveyed to them by faithful teachers. They had obeyed the gospel. They had become Christians. In that truth, they needed to put their roots down and grow in that continued development of knowledge that comes from above, not of men. "As you have been taught," he said, "abounding in it with thanksgiving." So you grow and you develop. So this is not minimal study, praying every once in a while. This is abounding in it, in what you've been taught, with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, being grateful for what you have, for what you've learned, spending a lot of time with your further study. This is the way to grow so that you are not misled by the multitude of false doctrines, teachers, ideas, philosophies that are in the world today. Why do we have young people that grow up in the church, go off to college, lose their faith, lose their zeal, get carried off into this, that, and the other doctrine? If roots haven't been put down in the truth, developed and grown, and this can happen to anyone at any age, then how much more easy it is for ideas that are not of Christ to lead us away. But instead, you stay in the truth that you've been taught, you give thanks to it, and you abound in it, then there is stability and hope. But again, he warns in verse 8, he says this, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ." Paul knows there's so much out there. You know, the city of Athens was such a place. Lots of strange ideas. They had gods and altars and monuments to anyone and everyone. They even had one to the unknown God. Paul says, let me take an opportunity to tell you all about this one. This is the only one. This is the reality. There are all kinds of things. Why, if there's no danger of losing your soul, would Paul even use that word, beware? It matters. It matters what you believe. It matters what you follow. It matters what you give your life to living and communicating to others. Because in fact, if you are cheated from what you once possessed, if someone essentially swindles you out of your wealth spiritually, you've lost it. The treasure that you had laid up in heaven has been forfeited. Not because God took it from you, but because instead of focusing on His Word, drawing from His truth, we allowed these other things in the world to take the place of the Lord. And that didn't happen against our will. It only happens when we give it. Paul continues in verse 9, "For in Him," and this is the only place it is to be found, "for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." Here's the one who rules over all. He's the head over all. And only in Him are we, writing to Christians, He is complete. We have all things in Christ Jesus. We have all the instruction we need. We have the providential care that we are promised. We have the hope that can never be taken from us by anybody else unless we grant it to them. But it is a hope that leads to something that is eternal in nature, described in the pages of Scripture as a crown, described also as mansions that will be given. Further explanation tells us that a part of that whole package, you might say, that we receive as faithful servants of God includes a replacement body, because this one wears out and it will be laid aside one day, but the new one will never see death. The new one is not made with hands. The new one is eternal in the heavens. Tonight, if you're not yet a part of this family, if you're not walking according to the truth, if other ideas have misled you, and you are beginning to grasp and comprehend what God teaches about His Son and about the church He established, continue down that path, because it's the one that leads to heaven. The doctrines of men do not save. The teachings of Christ certainly do. When we not only hear them and become interested in them, but when we follow them and live our lives by them. Through faith in Christ, turning from sin and repentance, confession of our belief that Jesus is God's Son, and baptism, where we are immersed so that our sins can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We find hope and we are added by God to the church. We begin a journey that leads to heaven, but a journey that we can forsake if we so choose to do. And it was one the brethren in Colossae were on, but the danger was you're going to be misled. And someone's going to cause you to forsake it. Beware. Watch out. And this is what we need to keep in our minds always, because there is that danger. Live faithfully. Keep close to God's Word. Abundantly fill your heart with it. Give thanks to God in regard to it. Be rooted in the truth so that you will not be led away. If you have wandered but you need to come home, and we can assist you with that tonight, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.